Hi everybody, today's devotional is Mark 2, 18 to 22. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." Hey everybody, this is Kevin. I'm glad to be giving the devos for this week. If you're just joining us, we are still early on in Mark, making our way through chapter 2, but a lot has happened already. Already in chapter 2, from last week's readings, Jesus has healed a paralytic, and he has called Levi, the tax collector, to be one of his disciples. That's kind of Mark's style, with a pretty fast pace, with immediately this happens and then immediately that happened. Today's passage starts off with a question from people observing Jesus and his disciples. They ask, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Perhaps this was a follow-up question from the last question, a couple verses back, about why Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. Again, the question is, why do these disciples, John's and the Pharisees, fast, but your disciples do not? Before we get to Jesus' response, just a quick background on fasting. Like we talk about in Symphony sometimes now, for example, in the Lent season, fasting is abstaining from something, usually food or water, for a period of time to increase our hunger for God. This physical act of abstinence is supposed to reflect and aid the spiritual posture of longing for God, which is why fasting is always accompanied by prayer. Fasting was performed in the Old Testament. For example, when the Israelites repented for their sin, a fast would be declared for a few days sometimes. For a couple more examples, Esther and Mordecai asked the Jews to fast when they were seeking out God for his deliverance. And King David also fasted after he was rebuked by Nathan. And in Jesus' day, John the Baptist went ahead of him, proclaiming a message of repentance. So it makes sense that his disciples were fasting. The Pharisees also had a practice of fasting twice a week, though we know from other passages that sometimes they were tempted to perform these religious acts like fasting, only to appear holy to others. In any case, people saw John's disciples and the Pharisees fasting, but not Jesus' disciples. Jesus responds to this question with a question of his own and an explanation. In verses 19 and 20, he says, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." Jesus says that it's not appropriate to fast right now because his disciples are like guests who are with the bridegroom. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast because it's a time of celebration, of course. The bridegroom is here, what they're all here for. Similarly, since fasting is meant to express and deepen one's longing for God, it doesn't make sense that when God is there with them in the purpose of Jesus that they would fast. Now, Jesus doesn't outright say that he is God in this passage, but it's pretty obvious here and in the coming passages that he's basically saying that he is God. He is the bridegroom that people are waiting for. Jesus says in verse 20 that the bridegroom will be taken away from them one day, and in that day, fasting will be appropriate. This can refer to the day when Jesus gives himself up to be crucified, and I think it also can apply to the time that we are in now, after Jesus has ascended to heaven, and while we are awaiting his second coming. From here, Jesus transitions into a couple of metaphors. First, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And second, a very similar image of how new wines and old wineskins is a bad combination. In both cases, the old container cannot handle the new object or substance, and is worse off than if nothing ever happened to the old. I tried thinking of a more modern example. It's like if you have an old iPad or an iPhone that's kind of slow, but then when you upgrade to the newest iOS, but now it turns out after that, it's even slower and it crashes sometimes. Anyways, the equation is old container plus new substance equals not good. Why does Jesus give these images? I think it's to show that something, or rather somebody, new is here now, which is Jesus himself. So the old ways of thinking and doing just won't suffice. Jesus' disciples are not fasting because the bridegroom, God himself, has arrived. And when God himself has come, everything changes and things shouldn't stay the same. John's disciples, the Pharisees' disciples, and everybody else have to be transformed in order to accept Jesus. It reminds me of Jesus in John 3, explaining to Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When we think about this transformation from an old wineskin, metaphorically speaking, to becoming a new wineskin that is ready to receive Jesus, it's clear that this has to be a work of God. After all, old wineskins don't just magically become new wineskins. Jesus' disciples are examples of new wineskins who have been transformed by God to receive and then even live and die for Jesus. On the other hand, many of the Pharisees, unfortunately, remained old wineskins that cannot come to accept Jesus and choose to remain in their old ways of thinking, where they are in control and they are most important rather than God. For today's devotional, as I start wrapping up, let's consider what Jesus says for others and for ourselves. First, for others who we know, perhaps family or friends who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord, we have to remember how God has to transform them into people who want to accept him. Since it's God ultimately doing the work of softening hearts, of transforming them into new wineskins, we should be prayerful to them. This sounds like a basic truth, but we should be praying for others because ultimately it's God doing that work. And for ourselves, if we have already accepted Jesus as our Lord, let's still keep remaining moldable and shapeable by him. Let's continually ask for his Spirit to work in us, to change any remaining old patterns of thinking or ways of doing things that that God wants to transform still. Let's ask Jesus to constantly fill us with more of himself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and God, we pray for our own hearts first. Lord, we pray that we would Lord, be the fresh wineskins that you're talking about, Lord, where we're ready to accept your Spirit and your ways of doing things. God, we pray against any ways that we become old wineskins, where we become set in our own ways and not open to or not ready to receive what you are doing. But God, help us to be new wineskins, just ready for more of you. And Lord, we also just surrender our friends and family and others who don't know you yet. We pray that you would be you would be doing this transforming work in their hearts as well. Lord, we thank you again, and we lift up this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.